Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants. Price may vary.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive, where drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. Plus, auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Quote now at progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sirius XM Radio presents, in conjunction with House of Athlete, I Am Athlete Tonight.
Hello, everyone. This is I Am Athlete Tonight, and I am your host, Ashley Nicole Moss. And I got a doctor in the house, the trick shot goddess herself, Dr. Chantel Tremeter. Hello, hello. How are you?
What's up, mama? How you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited to have some female energy. Last time it was mama. Just me, Shady, and Pac-Man, and it was a long 2 hours.
Yikes. I'm going to give some love to my boy Shady in a second, though.
And speaking of Shady, he is on time in his always. Seat, the 2013 NFL rushing champion himself, yeah. LeSean McCoy. How are you?
So can we call you mama, like auntie did, or you just want Ashley? Just tell me.
That's
you
my girl.
Call me mama.
Okay.
Yeah, like that's my girl.
What?
Yeah, you can't do that. But nephew, let me shout out real quick, because the listeners can't see what I see.
Uh-oh.
But my boy, my nephew done showed up in a Pittsburgh Steelers hat.
That's right.
So thank you very much. The vibe is already going to be good today. But Ashley, go ahead. It's you.
Looking good as always. I mean, yes. You see me, you already know that.
Well, moving on. Outside of Shady's looks that he loves to remind everyone about.
Always.
We have a great show in store for you tonight. Jason Tatum shares his thoughts on possibly teaming up with Kevin Durant. Of course, that comes at the slight of Jalen Brown. We'll get into that. Kirk Cousins is catching shade from his own team. Mm. Shady, uh-oh. I know you like that. Mm-mm. And the summer of Joel Embiid continues. We'll tell you what he did later in the show. But first, we got to start off with the big news of the day. The U.S. offers a deal to Russia for the release of WNBA star Brittney Griner.
Do it.
In a prospective agreement to obtain the release of not just Brittney Griner, but another jailed American, Paul Whelan, the Biden administration has proposed a trade to Viktor Bout, a convicted Russian arms trafficker serving 25 years in a U.S. prison. The Justice Department, which is usually against prisoner trades, cannot stop the swap because President Biden backs it. It is now up to Russian officials to accept. Now, Russian authorities apprehended Griner in February after discovering cartridges of hash oil in her baggage, which Griner ultimately pled guilty to. So, Auntie, I'm going to start with you. What are your thoughts on these latest developments?
You know what? I'm going to say this, and I know I might piss some people off. One, like Shady said, do it, right? Bring her home. But not only her, bring Paul home. But I think we have to have some caution here, you know, I think because in the future or whatever, because I think that is how I've thought about this, right, is Americans, like, now I understand when I went overseas and people told me what they think about Americans and things like that. We are so cocky. And, you know, I think the problem is we feel like American law should be everyone's law.
International
and
law,
at the,
right?
Yeah, at the end of the day, yeah, we want her home. But at the end of the day, she's guilty. Like, Brit, and that's my girl, but she's guilty of a crime. And, you know, should we bring her home? Hell yes. Let's bring Paul home. Hell yes. But I also think that we have to, you know, not, I don't know, I don't know. I'm trying well, to think I mean, of listen, the damn word
thing,
already.
Two things can be true at the same time. It can be, you know, excessive imprisonment for something that here in the States or any other countries throughout the world that wouldn't be this severe. And also, you know, there are other political agendas at play here.
Absolutely.
So that can be true. But what you're saying is absolutely correct. She knew what the law was. She went ahead and, you know, went against that. And unfortunately, you know, there were severe consequences, probably also the situation, you know, with the war going on between Russia and Ukraine probably didn't help her cause.
Right.
Had that not been the situation, maybe she wouldn't have been in prison at all. They maybe just would have let her go. This could be, you know, Russia also trying to prove a point. But listen, two things can be true at the same time. That's a very important thing to remember.
Yeah, but this is her seventh year going over there.
Yeah, she
knew what was going on. She didn't pack those cartridges accidentally. How great of a story would it be if they let her go like in the next 2 weeks and she comes back, wants to get right back on the floor and forget all of it. And then Phoenix, the Mercury win the WNBA title. Like what kind of movie would that be?
Great.
Cause I'm wouldn't it shady.
My favorite female basketball player is,
Diana Taurasi.
Oh,
the White Mamba.
Listen, dog. Listen. And every time I not, you know,
I love me some Skylar Diggins Smith.
Everybody might not agree with this, you know what I'm saying? But when I was a youngster, I had a crazy crush on her. And it wasn't all like the physical and the looks. It was just the swag. And
She definitely got some swag.
So is Sue Bird, though. Shout out to Sue Bird, one of the
I don't know DT. I don't know. DT, Sue doesn't have the swag that DT has.
Oh, no,
Sue can play. And she's 100 still playing, right. But she's like Tom Brady of basketball, but she don't have DT swag.
Shay, your thoughts on this Brittany Griner situation before we move on?
It's tough, but I want to ask Auntie something because you said something like that I really don't agree with, especially with America, right?
Okay.
Where you talked about how we want to, our laws should be the world's laws. And I disagree because I feel like, right, if maybe, you know, certain places in the world had our laws, right, it would be a lot safer. Compared to, like, let's talk about Ukraine and
Russia
and Russia,
right?
Like, come on, man! Like, can you imagine if our president was something like Putin? It would be crazy.
Yeah, but I think it's more of you know, I mean, obviously we can't change the laws in other countries, but at the end of the day, you know, I think we can voice our opinion about laws, but like. We walk around expecting that laws should be like they are in America. Weed is legal in America, so it should be legal everywhere in the world.
Well,
the fact is, it's not though. But that's the thing is, it's not. And so just like we would expect Russians to come over and obey our traffic laws, right? And other laws, we have to do the same.
Well, I think more like it's the people. Cause like, I'll give you an example. I've been privileged, right? Since I've been like, you know, in college and the pros. So sometimes as ball players, as public figures, you know what I'm saying? Like she is the laws is like, come on, I'm Brittany Griner. Like,
yeah, but you ain't Brittany Griner in Russia.
No, I know. So sometimes like maybe
it is interesting though, because like you said, Auntie, she has played in Russia for several years. No, but not only that, but she probably also thought that she had earned some sort of, you know, credibility or, you know, street cred, but not street cred, you know, in Russia, because she comes over every single offseason and plays for their national team and they do really well. Mm-hmm. So she probably thought, you know, that mindset that Shady's talking about, maybe she thought applied to her in Russia because she plays
home.
For them.
Bring them home. Right. Sign the deal. Make the trade.
It's not a trade. It's a swap.
It's not a trade. It's a swap.
Cut them deers down. Bring my girl home.
All right. Well,
it's only a little marijuana. Come on, Putin. It's only a little marijuana now.
Hash oil.
That too.
Listen, speaking of being home, or rather staying home, Draymond Green wants and believes he deserves a maximum contract extension.
Let's go, D.
Dub Nation.
The Warriors forward Draymond Green, his preference is obtaining a max contract extension to remain with Golden State. However, per a report written by Anthony Slater and Marcus Thompson II of The Athletic, not so fast, Draymond, because although Draymond wants and believes he deserves a max contract from the Warriors, he's also reportedly willing to explore his outside options to get the kind of contract that he wants. Mm. Now, it's going to be interesting because the Warriors might have to decide if they want to keep Green, Thompson, and Curry as their core players, or if they want to start thinking about the future and putting their money into NBA All-Star Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole. So, Shay, I'm going to start with you. Does Draymond deserve a max contract of $138 million?
That's a tricky
You
answer.
Coughed during that number.
That's a yes or no right there.
$1 million.
First of all, they should pay Draymond, right? Only thing I don't like is, and this is my opinion, because Draymond's one of my friends, you know what I'm saying? So I want to give him a lot of love, but I want to be fair and honest.
Hey, if you can't be honest with your friends, you got the wrong kind of friend.
Right.
That's right. Thanks, Ash.
You're welcome.
Right. So the thing is, right, I think if he goes to another team, right, okay, let me break it down. So in football, right, when you're their own, when I say their own, like they drafted you, they've been around you, they know who you are, your DNA, good and bad. They see you every day. They see your weakness every day. They see your best every day. So my thing with him is the things that he doesn't do well that the Warriors may know about, right? You can hide it, right? On football teams, this guy might not do this well. You can hide it. He could be a great player outside the walls, but inside, he's good, but you know his weaknesses, so you hide it.
Mm-hmm.
Where with him, I think it might really, really show fashion what people think, because you playing with Curry, you playing with Clay, you playing with a great team, a great system. They pass, they backdoor cuts, they shooting threes. It's so much space compared to, you might go to another team, you might get the money. But now, like, some of your deficiencies might show out more. Because,
did they not show in the finals?
But you still got away with it.
Right. Because,
you see what I'm saying?
Right, because you're the deep team, but it's not like people are oblivious to things that Draymond does not do well. We've seen them time and time before, especially in that last series.
But it's not a big issue, right? Like everybody's talking about how he was playing so bad. Yo, every game ended in six or less. And that whole playoff run.
Right. Not
so what I'm saying is,
because it's a deep team.
It's a deep team. And right. Like they know each other. So when we make these plays, okay, we know what Draymond can't do. Let's not do this. Let's not do that. Put him in pick and roll screens. You know what I'm saying? Put the ball in his hands. Cause now you got Steph Curry and them dudes, where you got guard them dudes soon they cover or come past half court.
Mm-hmm.
Compared you go to another team, you might get the max and the money part, but then does it affect your legacy as far as a player? Cause now your deficiencies, we all can see it.
Well, I feel, and Auntie, definitely jump in on this. I feel like, you know, his legacy is already set. You know what I mean? He has 4 NBA titles. You know, he has 4 rings under his belt. I believe he has
All NBA.
He's a 2-time gold medalist, 4-time NBA champion. Like I mentioned, 1-time defensive player of the year, 7-time all defense, 2-time all-star, 4-time all-star, 2-time all NBA. So I feel like his resume is kind of set in stone. The only thing is you pay Draymond, who is what, in his 30s, I believe.
Yeah.
Then what happens is those young guys, Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, who may be looking to get paid, now have to wait a little bit longer. Auntie, I mean, from a basketball standpoint, just from the inner workings of a team, how willing, especially fresh off of NBA championship, are those young guys willing to wait to get their due while, you know, Draymond collects a big check if that were to happen?
Well, first, let me go back because one, you know, Draymond Green is an amazing player, right?
Yes,
like you said, 4-time NBA champion. You know, and nobody in basketball like combines more unique like strengths with his obvious weaknesses. He tilts the balance on defense. His defense is what helped, you know, win that title.
Mm-hmm.
But his weakness also, you know, tilts that same balance to the other extreme on offense. You know, he was terrible. He's 2-for-16 behind the arc. They were daring him to shoot. And so, like Nephew said, I think if he goes to another team, you know, what he provides, you know, emotionally, mentally to players is invaluable. But yeah, at the end of the day, if he's not on a team with Steph Curry and Clay and some of these young people, young players, then like Wiggins and Looney, like his weaknesses will be exposed. And I don't think Draymond's going anywhere. He says, yeah, I'm going to explore my options. He ain't going nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere.
But yeah, and I don't think I mean, Wiggins and Poole, I don't think they're going anywhere either. You know, when you're winning,
especially it's
nice to, right, it's nice to stay.
Wiggins,
I mean, no, of course,
Wiggins has a little bit more.
Both of those guys are going to want to get paid,
yeah,
right?
And there comes a point in every franchise where you have to. I mean, listen, Clay and Steph, they're already, you know, set in stone,
right?
But there's a time in every franchise when you have to start thinking, as good as your team may be in the current space,
right,
you have to start thinking about the future. And the future is going to be in Andrew Wiggins, it's going to be in Jordan Poole, it's going to be in Kuminga, it's going to be in those younger guys.
Right.
So you but I don't sign Draymond about that.
Right. I don't sign Draymond for 4 years.
What you give him, Auntie?
Two.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah.
Maybe 20 a year.
I won't give listen. I love Draymond. You know, but I don't know about the max. I would pay him out. The max is tough.
The max is tough, especially after the series that they just came out of, and you saw how the team was able to overcome despite his shortcomings. The game is changing, you know, and in 2017, when he won that DPOY, the game is drastically different, you know, and it just goes to show that scoring matters and Draymond is not always.
But he does. No, I will say this though, and I gave him his credit. He affects the game more than anybody.
Like, but not offensively.
Defensively, yeah, but he affects the game.
Offensively, he might not be scoring a lot, right? But I think he passes the ball well, brings the ball up. And then when
he's more of a nuisance.
But no, when they set their offense up, right?
Uh-huh.
I love how they put him at the one and they let Clay and Steph run around on picks. Bam! You know what I'm saying? You set them screens. Right. He passed the ball up the screen. He threw the alley hoop. Like, they got a real system.
So but his assists only go up when Steph Curry is in the game.
Right.
That's true.
That's when let his assists
go
up.
Let me ask you both this then. How vital is he?
If he can shoot, I'm sorry, real quick, Ash. When he was shooting, because I'm a Warriors fan, so I know their team.
We know.
Right? Yo, when he was shooting the ball well back then, the Warriors was blowing teams out. I don't know if you remember that.
Of course.
So when his three ball wasn't the same, they were winning, but it wasn't like them blowouts.
Right? But in 2022, seeing who Draymond is now and looking at that series, you know, in the finals, how vital is he to the success of the Warriors team moving forward? That if, hypothetically, devil's advocate, you did lose him, is that still a championship team?
No.
Oh.
No. I think what he provides off the court, I it's in the same way that I think that the Celtics aren't playing in the finals if Marcus Smart isn't on that team.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. You're right.
You know, he like Nephew said, like he affects the game so much. Mm. And like you said, and he's a nuisance, especially on defense. But he affects the game on offense too. He affects the game sometimes in a bad way. And you know, but I also believe, you know, at 32 years old, his shot's not gonna get any better.
But if he had that jumper, I would get
him. Yeah, but that's it. Well,
if I could sing and dance, I'd be Beyonce. So
hello,
like, you know.
Hello.
Hey, you know what though? Like, I mean, I was a big fan of like hockey. I was in Pittsburgh, they had like the best hockey team, right?
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Penguins.
And it was this dude named Sidney Crosby. Right? He was so good, but I remember he was
a
like
dude named Sidney.
Crosby.
Sidney Crosby, one of the best ever to play.
I know. He's like, there was this dude named Sidney Crosby. Like, nobody's ever heard of him.
What's your point? I was young. I was like, what, 17 in college? I didn't really know about hockey.
Because anyway, he was playing with Mario Lemieux at the time.
Yeah, so I remember just like, oh, he was a big thing in the city. Like, oh, my God, you know? And I remember like watching it. And I was like, yo, these dudes is protecting him. Draymond Green, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry. Steph Curry is Sidney Crosby. And Draymond Green's like the protector. Like, you can't even, because Steph ain't going to push you back. He ain't going to get into the arguments. Klay Thompson, same thing.
Right.
Even Wiggins. They don't have no real, like, strong personalities where they can get, you know, aggressive.
Right.
That's what
Draymond want that brain. Smoke. He want
you
that
touch,
smoke.
You touch my man, we got issues.
Well, on that note, then, it basically comes down to Draymond needs the Warriors. The Warriors need Draymond. That's just true. Not at the tune of $138 million.
Absolutely not.
So let's figure out somewhere in the middle. But speaking of the finals, the Boston Celtics are also in the news because Jason Tatum gave a quote on the red carpet of Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm. What did he say?
Point guard premiere, which covers all some of the greatest New York point guards to ever play street ball, professional ball. That's very excited to check that out.
I played up there.
But after rumors swirled about Kevin Durant's future in the NBA, particularly when it came to the Boston Celtics. Now, it was reported that allegedly there was a trade on the table that would involve swapping Jaylen Brown for Kevin Durant and some other pieces. Don't know if that's going to end up coming through. Reportedly, it was a conversation that happened a few weeks ago, but that fell through, as I said. But Jason Tatum responded to the speculation and said, I love our team. I love the guys we got. Take a listen to this.
If the Celtics talking to the Nets about maybe getting Durant.
I don't make anything of it. Okay. I just play basketball.
Do you have a dream team?
To play on? If St. Louis had a team, that'd be the team I would play.
Just what do you think of playing with Kevin?
I mean, I played with him during the Olympics, obviously. You know, he's a great player. But that's not my decision. You know, I love our team. I love the guys that we got. I don't know if that report is true or not.
Paul Pierce said you guys don't have to do anything.
If we don't have to do anything. Yeah. No, we got two new pieces. I love our team, right? Like I said, I just go out there and play with my teammates. So that's not really, I don't put that hat on to make decisions.
Did you have any reaction to the reports that Jaylen Brown was in the
I don't believe everything I see on TV. I didn't see anything about me that was a lie. So you never really know what is true and what's not true.
So a lot to dissect there, but first and foremost, I went on the record a few times and said, look, Kevin Durant, I still think greatest basketball player currently playing, but the Celtics don't need him. I think this is a really good team from top to bottom of their roster. You know, first time head coach for the Celtics, Ime Udoka, did a sensational job. The guys really respond to him. I don't know if Kevin Durant drastically moves the needle for this team that you trade a player with the potential of Jaylen Brown. He's only gotten better. He continues to get better. Not only that, he's a positive force in the locker room, in the community. So, Auntie, I want to start with you. Jaylen Brown constantly seems to be in these trade conversations. Yeah. It was Anthony Davis at one point. Yeah. It was Ben Simmons at one point. Kawhi Leonard, now Kevin Durant. I mean, the list goes on and on. Are the Celtics ruining their relationship with Jaylen Brown to get that if the point comes where Kevin Durant does not end up in Boston, now there's another trade rumor against him that, you know, apparently the front office was, you know, trying to make happen.
Well, it's crazy because there was a report earlier that the Nets turned down a trade offer from the Celtics that included Jaylen Brown, Derek White, and one draft pick.
They wanted Marcus Smart as well.
But they wanted, wanted Marcus Smart and draft picks. And so, you know, if I'm Jaylen, look, everybody says it's a business. This is a business. But after a while, I'm gonna be like, hey, fellas, look, do you want me here or not? I mean, Katie, one of the best players in the world. I got to disagree with you about the best player playing right now, but one of the best in the world. But he got a lot of baggage coming with him. And I just I can agree with you when he said, I don't think that he drastically changes the Celtics.
Right.
Especially if you get rid of Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart.
Right.
I don't think that would I trade Jaylen Brown for AD? Yes, you get another young player, one of the most dominant inside game that could help you a lot.
Even though he's injury prone.
Yeah, I still would, because when he's playing at his best, you know, it is what it is. And like they say, the East isn't as physical as they are out West. So, but at the end of the day, look, Jaylen understands it's a business. And if his name's out there, you know, it is what it is. The Celtics aren't going to get Kevin Durant. And the longer this goes on, I mean, the more I'm thinking the Nets might just chill with Kevin because they're asking too much for him.
Yeah. I mean, that was always something that I worried about. It's, you know, right. Kevin Durant is what, 33 years old at this point. You know, he's not getting any younger.
He's had
a few major injuries. You know, you don't want to trade your future for, although one of the best, or if you ask me, the best in the league, you got to think smart and long term sometimes rather than quick, immediate, you know, success. And again, I don't think the Celtics need him. I think this is a really good team that can get back to the finals with or without Kevin Durant. I mean, I don't think he moves the needle for them.
He don't want to go to Boston either. Go ahead.
Before I give you my point, let me ask
don't get Shay started on Boston.
Let me give you a question, Auntie, real quick before I give you my points, right?
Because you give me a lot of questions tonight, but it's cool.
Yeah, right. You got good insight. who's the, not the most viable, but who's the best player for the Boston Celtics? Who's the best player?
Offensively or defensively? Listen,
I'm going to say it again. Who is the best player?
All-around player?
Who's the best player?
Jason Tatum.
Really? I would say Jalen Brown.
I think Jason Tatum on both ends of the court.
Listen.
You looking at both ends of the court.
I asked for your question, but I asked.
Let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because in big situations, right? Part of being the best player is stepping up in big situations, right? Jason Tatum stepped up in the finals. Jalen Brown turned the ball over a whole lot.
They all do that over there.
And if you want to be considered the best, you can't turn the ball over and be as flimsy with the ball as
he was. Did he step up in the finals, though? Because I don't think he did.
So hold on.
No.
So hold on. So let's talk about this now. Because, like, you said something to help our case. I guess we're together on this, right? Okay, so first of all, Jalen Brown is the best player on the team. He can score when they need points, right?
He
can
shoot. If he doesn't turn over the ball, though.
They all turn the ball over. That's a bad example. They all turn the ball over. Yo, the Milwaukee series, they turn every time they lost with the Heat, it was always turnovers. The Warriors was turnovers. They all turn the ball over. That's to show like the youth, right? They were still young. But real quick, the dude plays lights out on defense and offense, both sides. I watched Jalen Brown like ball out, where Tatum was kind of like up and down with the offense, couldn't guard nobody. You know what I'm saying? So anyway, I just want to make that clear. But when I watch this team, why wouldn't you want Kevin Durant? I wouldn't trade Jalen Brown.
It's not that you don't want him. It's that you
They do.
They need him?
Yeah, they need him.
No, they don't need him.
Yo. If you really want to break it down, right? They won two games with the Warriors, right? Two games, okay? And then They beat Milwaukee to get there.
But they won two games with Jason Tatum not even playing his best series. There's a difference between wanting someone.
They need
him. Do you want Kevin Durant? Any team would want Kevin Durant, but you don't need him. That's the difference here.
They beat an old beat up Milwaukee team. Their second best player wasn't even active, right?
Okay.
They barely got out
of it. That's the name of the game.
Okay. So what I'm saying is this. I'm saying, okay, so you give up Derek
White.
Derek White, he's regular, right? No disrespect, but we know what it is, okay? Jalen Brown is really, really good, right?
Get your point, Shady.
That's big value. And then who was the other one to trade? Who was it?
Marcus Smart.
I will give up the picks.
So who are you giving up? Derek White and a bench warmer? You can't do that for Kevin Durant.
Look, picks. They got to find a way to make it. That's not my job.
Oh, my God.
My job is to talk about it. If you get Kevin Durant, dog, it's a whole nother level, man.
Yo, this is Brandon Marshall here to talk to you about some of my favorite things to eat. The carb fear is real, but carb-heavy foods are often the ones we love the most. Hero Bread makes those same delicious favorites free of consequences or compromises. They've remade carby, empty-calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious versions that include no net carbs, 0 grams sugar, and fewer calories, plus protein and fiber, the soft, fluffy experience you love when enjoying a refreshing BLT, savory breakfast burrito, or mouth-watering cheeseburger. Something for every craving, including sliced bread, loaves, buns, and tortillas. And they have monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites like the 2-gram net zero hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb hero cheddar biscuit. Don't give up being a breadhead. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code athlete at checkout. That's athlete at hero.co. With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and need. That means you earn 2% cash rewards on what you want, like season tickets to watch your favorite team, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like paying for parking. The Active Cash Credit Card is ready when you are. With unlimited 2% cash rewards, the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, that's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/active. Cash.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. With over 350 million global monthly visitors, Indeed's matching engine helps you find quality candidates fast. You get to ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. It's not just about hiring faster, though. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Don't search. Match with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
As we continue our series countdown to kickoff, focusing on one team's outlook as we enter the 2022 season, tonight we're going to bring things down to H-Town, the home of Beyonce Knowles, and bring the Houston Texans into focus. Listen, the Texans finished the 2021 season with a record of 4-13. So not the best. They were dealing with some things, though. Last season, they were 30th in the league in points scored. They hired former Bears coach Lovie Smith in the offseason. And first-year quarterback threw 16 touchdowns and 10 interceptions last season while completing 66% of his passes. That was first-year quarterback David Mills, by the way. So that is where we are going to start. Shady, I'll start with you, actually. What do you expect from David Mills in his sophomore season?
You know what? He was very, very bad in the beginning, right? But he was a rookie, and that happens. And then I think that he picked it up, and he started playing very, very well. It didn't lead to a lot of wins, but you've seen the confidence growing. You've seen late in the game actually making plays. So I do like him. I think that next year he'll have a really, really good year. And I'm excited to see his growth. I think he showed some growth from the beginning to the end of the year. I'm just nervous about just the team, right? I think a guy like David Culley, who was last year's head coach, with the cards that he was dealt, I mean, it was hard because if as a coach, if you don't have your team for a long enough time, it's hard to put the play together. You know what I mean? Get the players you want, get the draft picks you want, get the linemen, get the skill players, et cetera. So now you bring in another head coach, right, for this young quarterback. It's just hard to see how well he does when you keep changing these head coaches with a young player.
Obviously, Auntie, this is, you know, Davis Mills is no, you know, Deshaun Watson. And that was supposed to be the quarterback of the Houston Texans' future. That was supposed to be their franchise guy. It did not work out that way. So they're kind of dealing with the fallout of that and trying to figure out what that next step looks like. You know, how do you, I guess, how do you fix what was drastically broken with this organization?
I don't think you do this year. I think they're going to be lucky to get 5 wins. They have a really tough schedule. The Colts have gotten better in the offseason. The Jaguars have gotten better in the offseason. You know, this team didn't sign any major free agents. Mm-mm. And so, you know, they gotta hope that Davis Mills, you know, turns into a legitimate franchise quarterback. And I think until that time, I think they're gonna struggle this year, and I think they're gonna get a top 5 pick next year. I just don't think they're very good.
They don't never win no games, just so you know. So 5 wins is like, that's 4 like
wins.
Super Bowl.
That's 4
and
wins.
They start off with a tough season. I mean, with some tough games, and so I don't, you know, look,
yeah.
Hey, at the end of it, you got to start off with the Colts, and then you go to the Broncos, to the Bears, Chargers, mm-hmm. you know, at the Jaguars, Raiders, and Titans and Eagles. Like, I don't even see a win in those first 6 games.
Well, Shady, I have a question for you. We're going to take it to something that a topic you probably know really, really well.
I mean, that's most questions.
Okay.
We must be talking about Shady then.
The Texans finished dead last in rushing last season. So do you think the duo of Marlon Mack and Damian Pierce will be able to improve that? Because if you don't have a quarterback you're confident in, you can always run the ball.
You know what the problem is? The problem is this. They ran the ball decent last year, right? The thing is, they get down by so many points so fast by the beginning of the third quarter, right? We got to throw the ball. You know what I mean? Middle of the second quarter, we got to throw the ball. If it's down, what, 14, 17 points? They you know, they gave up a lot of turnovers. So it's really hard to really say how good they could be running the ball, because I felt like watching them, sometimes they ran the ball well, but when you get down by 17, you can't keep running the ball. So that's a tricky question.
Yeah, I mean, listen, head coach Lovie Smith is definitely going to have his hands full with this team in so many different ways. But I have to ask you, Andy, do you think that he's in a no-win situation here? Like, it's just, it's absolutely just not going to work.
Right. Well. Absolutely. Like I said, you know, he has a good, and we keep using it, a good quarterback, not a great quarterback. He has a good running backs, not great running backs. There are some important pieces, I guess we can talk about in a minute, but I just think, you know, they're just not a very good team, and the teams in that division are getting better and they aren't. And so this year, at least, he's not in a win-win situation.
Hey, Ash, you know what's crazy, though? You asked that question. That was a great question because a lot of people didn't want that job.
A lot of people didn't want that job.
For the last 2 to 3 years, right, when they were even contemplating changing the coaches, a lot of people didn't want the job. They said, you know what, they're setting us up because nobody wants to take it. So we got to give it to somebody.
Right.
It's definitely interesting because that went from being a very coveted job because of the quarterback and that everybody wanted to coach. Right. While he was there, everyone wanted to go ahead and coach, you know, the prodigy that was Deshaun Watson. Right. And then that situation crumbled. And now it was like, well, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole. I want no parts of that. Not only just because the quarterback doesn't want to play there, but all the other moving pieces. And now it's so interesting how the Texans went from an organization that was just in a black hole to now seeing the light at the end of the tunnel when they drafted Watson. And now they're literally right back where they started in a matter of what, 2 years?
Yeah. And then, I mean, once I seen they got rid of DeAndre Hopkins, I'm like, wait,
that was the beginning of the end.
Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah. That's where it all started to go downhill.
Yeah, cause like you
don't, it was Hopkins. Then it was Watt. Then it, you know, Watson was like, I want to part of this.
Watt was always banged up, but it was, they start getting rid of the linemen. They got rid of Tunsil from Miami. They giving up first round draft picks. I'm like, yo, what are they trying to? Are they trying to lose?
Right.
So that's that team, man. They're scarred for the next. No, not scarred. They're cursed. That's their better word. They're cursed for the next. Next 4 years, they're cursed.
Well, listen, speaking of a team that, well, I guess they're not cursed anymore because they have a new quarterback and he's one of the best. We're going to move on to Russell Wilson, the new quarterback of the Denver Broncos, breathing life back into this organization, into this franchise. And the fans are really excited, but social media was buzzing today. Because not only did he come in a tricked out truck, who knew that Russell Wilson was a truck guy, but he also came wearing his own jersey, which I guess is
that ain't mad at him.
This is me.
Which I didn't see a problem with, but apparently Pat McAfee tweeted, "This might be a first. I have never, in capital letters, seen anybody confident enough to wear their own jersey in public while not at an event. Imagine walking through the mall and boom, Russ walks past you wearing his jersey, guaranteed to catch a hey, let's ride while he's passing. This guy is a movie." Listen, Shady, I'll ask you, you played football. Is showing up to camp wearing your own jersey, is that confident or corny? Listen, I don't see the problem.
Real quick with McAfee, man, I think, because I love him, he's a good dude, but, you know, as the quarterback, it's different from the other position. You the guy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, hell, I remember going out to clubs wearing, you know, my face on my shirt. Back in the day, they had white.
Jesus so Christmas.
No, back in the day, back then, it was a thing to have blue jeans, a straight crispy white tee. I mean, I had to iron my white tee for at least 20 minutes, right? Had some Air Force or some Timberlands, and I would have my Yankee hat on, and I would have my face spray painted on my shirt. Yeah, I did that. So I'm going to say it like this. I love what Russell did. He even got, listen, are those Jordans? I don't know what he got, but I like the swag. I like the sunglasses.
I have a question for you. Yes. I have such
a big truck in the back.
Can I just tell you that if I was in the club and a guy pressed up on me and he was wearing, you know, a whole fit and he was cool or whatever, and I was like, oh, okay, he's kind of cute. And I look down and he's wearing himself on his shirt. I'm gonna need you to about face out my face.
You know what you're gonna say?
Are you insane?
You're gonna say, you just said that the guy was cute. You say, oh my God,
you were cute until you walked up to me wearing your own face on your t-shirt.
What you're going to say is, oh my God, your shirt is so cute. That's what you're going to say.
That's not what I was
saying. So listen, so all you fellas out there that want to wear your shirt like Russell Wilson did, there's nothing wrong with that.
Auntie, are we really comparing wearing your own jersey to wearing your face on a t-shirt?
Yeah, no, absolutely not. I would never wear my own face.
What the hell?
Yeah, I would never wear my own face on my shirt. Like, well, no. But look,
thank you.
I know in the WNBA, look, there's a 0.03% chance that you get into the WNBA. 0.03.
Wow.
And so it's, I mean, 0.02, because it's 0.03 for the NBA. Hell yeah, I'm gonna wear my own jersey. You earn that shit, wear it. And
yeah, that's right. Wear that shit.
So look, wear his little orange jersey. I like the color jersey, and
that's right.
You know, I mean, Russell is corny. So I think, like you said earlier, I think
but, both, wait. Why is he corny?
Both things can be true.
Why is he corny, Auntie? Everybody calls him corny. Why is he corny?
He's got a little corny.
Now, but I like it. But he got some swag.
Wrong with corny, though.
Right. There is nothing wrong with corny.
I'd rather have corny than future.
You know what? I'll say that. I hated that my man from the Pivot said, "Oh, he's corny." You leave our future to get with the corny dude. I'm thinking like, First of all,
I would leave future in a heartbeat.
The dude's, right. No, I'm saying dude's educated. He's a good father. Like he's a good role model. He's a good role model for people.
People find lack of scandal.
And
corny.
he got $100 million running around in contracts. And he's married to a beautiful Sierra. Now, like, listen, how's that corny?
Two things. I mean, he's not. Does he have some corn on his cob? Yes. Is he drastically corny to where you can't deal with it? No. I think that people take it and run with it. But he's got a little corn to him.
People are too cool, right? They too cool. Future might just be too cool.
I think Future's corny.
I don't listen. Right.
If we gonna keep it a buck, I think Future's corny.
Yeah, I don't listen to that type of music, so I don't really know. I don't really know him like that, but I think when they be trying to compare it, like, why? Because he's not like with a whole bunch of diamonds on his neck and all that. Like, nah, he's a different dude. Listen, I want my wife. I mean, I'm sorry. I want my daughter to marry somebody like Russell, not like Future. Tell you that right now. I don't know if that's corny or not, but I'm gonna be happy.
Whoever your daughter brings home ain't got a picture of his own face on his shirt. We're good.
Right. Do you think that Russell Wilson is a simple and sentimental guy? Do you believe that? Absolutely. Yeah. Well, if you look up the definition of corny, it says tiresomely simple and sentimental. The end.
I wouldn't say simple. Y'all see the truck he pulled up in?
You got to have that kind of truck in Denver with that damn snow.
we was FaceTiming him. Me and Brandon was FaceTiming Russell, and they were working out with the guys, right? And he seemed like a typical quarterback that had a cool little kind of corny joke, right?
You just called him corny.
No. Corny joke. I say some corny jokes. I'm far from that.
You don't say some. All your jokes are corny.
Right. Absolutely all of them.
Ladies and gentlemen, she's so tough on me. But anyway, like, he didn't come off to me as corny. I remember seeing him at the Pro Bowl with Sierra. By the way, Sierra knows a lot of football. And just talking to them, they was like, cool. He didn't come off to be like corny. You know what I'm saying? He was just cool. Like, cool as far as just a good guy.
Listen, I think it's safe to say corny is in the eye of the beholder. I don't find Russell Wilson corny. And if you do, then luckily for you, you're not married to him.
You calling me corny. You just say if a guy.
No, I didn't say you were corny. I said that was corny. You wearing your own face on your T-shirt is corny as hell.
Now, she's from New York. They all do in New York.
No, we don't. All right, we're moving on. Okay, listen. This is where Shady and I are going to get real aggy, all right? Because you
want to get aggy.
USA Today predicts that I almost threw up in my mouth. The Philadelphia Eagles will win the NFC East.
Yeah, woo, woo, woo.
After making offseason additions to the likes of A.J. Brown, Hassan Reddick, James Bradbury, and a drafting of a pair of Georgia Bulldogs in N'Kobe Dean and Jordan Davis, the Eagles are reporting to training camp with playoff aspirations. Nate Davis of USA Today has predicted that the Eagles will win the NFC East with a record of 11-6 and obtain the number 4 overall seed in the conference. Well, Nate Davis, listen, I hate to break it to you, but you're going to go ahead and be wrong in this one, pal, because everyone knows the winners of the NFC East will once again be my Dallas Cowboys. Go ahead, JD. Take it away.
Nah, real quick, though, like, I just want to know, how are you a Cowboys fan? I just want to know.
My daddy is a diehard Cowboys fan. That's a team that I grew up watching. And the year I was born, we won the Super Bowl. So it was fate.
Is that the last
time? No, it was 1993. Don't come at me crazy.
Okay, so I'll just say this. I don't know the last time that they won a championship.
It was 1995.
It's been some time.
I mean, we didn't have to sell our soul for one in this new decade because we've won 5 of them by just talent alone. Yeah, but hey, man, whatever.
That's you living back in like 1996.
I mean, right? I hope that you guys come enjoy on, the one Super Bowl you won, because you're not going to win another one in this millennium. So,
yo, how old was you in 1996, though?
I was three.
You wasn't watching football at three.
Yes, I was too watching so football you knew, at three. You can call my dad right now.
And anyway, ladies,
I was watching the Knicks play too.
Ladies and gentlemen,
we're gonna talk about these. We're gonna talk about this or y'all gonna be fighting because look.
The problem is, right? It's not really her. It's just that a lot of these Dallas Cowboy fans, they love to brag about all these championships that happened so many years ago, right? That's all I was saying. But I think that I think the biggest question for the Eagles is the quarterback. If Jalen Hurts can be the guy that we think he can be, we will win the division easily, right? I think the Cowboys, they're nothing but choke artists, right? Let me finish. They pay their quarterback, right? He's supposed to be this superstar quarterback. I mean,
don't disrespect Dak Prescott in my presence.
Is he barely touching top 10? He's okay. He loses a lot of games for them, right? I look at Zeke. They hate on Zeke so much, but they did this to Zeke. They give this guy 300 plus carries every single year. That's so hard to do. So of course he's going to slow down and he's not be the same productive Zeke that we're used to, right? And then you let Amari Cooper go, right? And then you hope that CeeDee Lamb could be the guy. But what else is there other than CeeDee Lamb on the outside? So when I look at this team, I don't see it. I look on defense, how they were getting bullied around, running the ball, right? Up and down the field. I watch teams do that. I watch how the 49ers straight bullied them. I've never seen a home team, right, have home field advantage in a playoff game, and all the gamblers bet against them. It was crazy.
It was the Rams. Let me tell you something.
49ers against the Cowboys and Dallas. They got blew out. They ran up and down the field. They lost.
Look, the Dallas Cowboys are a great team.
Fly, Eagles, fly, baby.
The Dallas Cowboys are a great team. And that's hard for me to say as a Pittsburgh fan. However, wait a minute. Listen. They were a great team last year. But the thing is they didn't get any better. You know, losing Amari Cooper. They not only lost him, they lost Randy Gregory. They lost Cedric Wilson. They cut Lyle Collins. You know, you picked up James Washington, who can't catch a cold, and Dante Fowler, but the Eagles didn't have a strong offseason either, free agency. But what they got in free agency, except, you know, for obviously AJ Brown is traded, but what I'm saying is, but when it came to the draft, folks aren't talking about, look, Jordan Davis is one of the best. I mean, he's going to be one of the best rookies. He may be rookie defensive player of the year. And then the Philadelphia Eagles got a steal in the Kobe Dean. And so they improved. That's, and that's the thing is the Eagles improved and the Dallas Cowboys stayed the same. Now, did the Eagles improve to the
point? That is true.
Did the Eagles improve to a point?
Hassan Reddick is a big pickup for us. He's a big pickup for us. We needed him.
But did they improve enough to be better than the current Cowboys? And if they did, then they're going to win it.
I think that the Eagles definitely improved. But the thing with Philly in these past few years that I'm not a believer in is that it seems that they slightly improve every season in some way, shape or form. But the pieces never click when you need them to click. You see glimpses of it. You see moments of it. But you never see it consistently enough for them to go ahead and really get into full gear. Whereas the Cowboys, I'm in agreement with you, they did not get better. They stayed the same. Some may even say they declined a little bit because of, you know, the pieces that they lost. Right. But one thing that you can say about this team is, for the most part, outside of the additional pickups from the draft, this is the exact same team. They know each other inside and out. Offensively and defensively, they know how to make it work in some way, shape, or form. And that has always been something that the Eagles cannot do.
Let me ask you both a question. Okay, so hold up. So let's just go down the line just real quick. It'll be quick. So who has a better quarterback? You should probably say Dak, right?
Dak's, but are you going to argue with me and say that Dak Prescott's not better than Jalen Hurts?
I'm saying he's a better quarterback, right?
He is 100% a better quarterback.
But on offense, whose offense you think is better? The weapons. Think about the weapons we have, and you got the weapons you got.
It depends on how you go ahead and rate those. Are you just going by grading in terms of individual players, or are you looking at them as a unit? If we're looking at them as a unit, I say the Cowboys still have a better offense. I haven't seen the Eagles play with this offense yet. I can't make that assessment.
I'm just saying you lose your best wide receiver, right? And you're starting tailback.
Amari Cooper was not getting the touches that he was getting. It was always meant for CeeDee Lamb to go ahead and take that number one wide receiver spot.
I never said he wasn't. I just said that you lose your best receiver. That's what I said. Your best receiver. I don't think CeeDee Lamb's better than Amari Cooper. Right?
It depends on what situation you put him in.
I'm talking about right now. I don't know. Maybe next year he could be better because you get better as you go on. But so offensively, I think the Eagles are better. Right? Better linemen for sure. Right? You disputing that too?
A better offensive line?
Yeah. Yeah, come on. I won't.
Yeah, you can't. I mean, do you think they're better defensively than we are?
I think they're better.
Defensively than the Dallas Cowboys are?
I think they are. Yeah, they got Michael Parsons. He's from our hometown. Right?
Okay, shout out to Micah.
Who else?
Trayvon Diggs.
Trayvon Diggs is good, but he gets burnt a lot too.
Okay.
But he is good. He's a good player, but we're going to go at him too, though.
Like I said, I need to go ahead and see what this Eagles team looks like in full functioning season form, because we always have the same debate. The Eagles are going to win the division. And listen, you know what happened last season? The Cowboys won the division.
Am I playing
either days? Winning the Super Bowl, so it ain't going to matter.
Hold on. And NFC, you know, my plan days, and NFC, I love to beat up on Dallas. They get all these big screen TVs, and they got the Cowboy cheerleaders looking all good up in there with the water splash and all that.
Don't hate all these cheerleaders because they're fine.
We would go out there and handle business. They got Jerry Jones coming out there, you know what I'm saying? We used to whoop them boys, man. Yeah.
Okay, well, on that note.
Fly, Eagles, fly, baby.
Die, Eagles, die.
I Am Athlete Tonight is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. Support I Am Athlete Tonight with a 5-star rating and by leaving a review. That's a big deal, guys. Stop being lazy. Pick up your phones and leave a review and give us a 5-star rating. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Want more? Catch the full 2 hours of I Am Athlete Tonight weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on Mad Dog Sports Radio, SiriusXM channel 82. Go to SiriusXM.com/IAA Tonight Trial to start your free trial today.
SiriusXM Podcasts.